Hello and welcome back to the Deep Dive. We all hit those moments in life, don't we? The ones that just leave us asking why. Why is this happening? What's the point of this struggle? It's such a deeply human question, isn't it? Today we're taking a journey, a deep dive really, into some ancient wisdom that speaks right to this. We're looking at Job chapter 36. Our mission here is to unpack what Elihu offers about, God's character, the role suffering plays, and how this ancient text can maybe shed some light on our lives today. Help us understand God's justice, perhaps, and maybe even strengthen our faith.
That's exactly right. We've spent time with the biblical text itself and also looked at some, helpful summaries and modern takes on it. We want to pull out the most important ideas for you, looking at how God interacts with people, with the world around us, and what that actually means for us as we, navigate our own challenges.
Okay, so let's jump right in with Elihu. He kind of steps up, claiming to speak for God. What's the absolute baseline understanding he wants us to have about God's nature before we even get into the tough stuff like suffering?
Well, right away, Elihu stresses that God is mighty in strength and wisdom, immensely powerful, incredibly wise, but, and this is crucial, he says, God despiseth not any.
Despiseth not any. Okay, so not just powerful, but also attentive.
Exactly. It means God doesn't ignore anyone, doesn't look down on anyone. He's got perfect knowledge, he's fundamentally righteous, and he acts with this deep sense of justice. Elihu argues God preserves the righteous, sets them up, even like kings, but he doesn't preserve the wicked in the same way.
Right, it's a powerful starting point. God is mighty, wise, just, and doesn't ignore people. But then Elihu talks about people being bound in fetters.
Or cords of affliction.
Yeah, basically trapped by suffering. So how does he link that experience, that hardship, back to this just God? Is he saying suffering is always like a direct punishment?
Not necessarily punishment in the way we might first think. That's what's so interesting here. Elihu suggests suffering can actually be instructional.
Instructional, how so?
Well, he says when people are afflicted, God uses it to show with them their work and their transgressions, basically to reveal where they might have gone wrong, where they've exceeded. He's like, God openeth also their ear to discipline. He makes them receptive, ready to listen and learn.
Okay.
And he commandeth that they return from iniquity. So it's presented almost as this unexpected chance for spiritual insight, for repentance and real growth.
So within that suffering, there's a choice presented. Listen and learn, or don't. What does Elihu say happens depending on that choice?
The difference he draws is very clear, stark even. If they obey and serve him, he says, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Sounds pretty good. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge.
Wow, okay. That sounds quite final.
It does, and he adds a strong warning about hypocrites in heart, those who are maybe putting on a show but aren't genuinely turning back to God. He says they heap up wrath and don't cry out for help when they're bound, and they might die young.
So the emphasis is really on humility, on being willing to actually listen when things get tough.
Exactly. It's about responsiveness to God's leading, even when it comes through difficulty. That seems to be the key distinction he's making.
Now, this is where I find it gets really interesting. Elihu makes this like sudden shift. He moves from talking about human choices and consequences to describing God's incredible power in the natural world. Why does he do that? What's the connection he's drawing?
I think he's reinforcing God's majesty, how utterly vast and frankly incomprehensible God is. He says God exalteth by his power, and then he asks this rhetorical question, who teacheth like him?
Right.
He reminds us that God is great and we know him not, and neither can the number of his years be searched out. This sheer scale, this power, this wisdom we were just talking about in relation to suffering, it's reflected everywhere in creation. It's like saying, look around, you see his handiwork, his power, his order everywhere.
Can you give us some of those specific examples from nature, the ones Elihu uses?
Oh, they're quite vivid. He talks about God making small the drops of water like the process of evaporation and condensation,
Okay.
which then pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, distilling it abundantly on humanity, providing life. He also mentions the spreadings of the clouds and the noise of his tabernacle, which most scholars think refers to
The
thunder.
power in a storm.
Exactly. The sound of God's presence and power. He talks about God spreading his light, covering the bottom of the sea. These aren't just weather patterns to Elihu. They show how God governs everything. He judges people, yes, but he also gives meat in abundance through these natural cycles. It's all meant to point to divine order, divine mystery, and inspire awe, reverence.
Okay, so bring this all together for us today. We've heard about God's justice, suffering as potential instruction, the importance of listening, God's immense power in nature. What does this mean for us? How can Job 36, actually encourage obedience or strengthen our faith now?
That's the crucial question, isn't it? I think if we connect the dots, Elihu's words offer some really powerful applications for our lives. First one, don't waste your pain. Try to listen for God in it. Instead of just reacting, just trying to escape hardship, maybe ask, what could God be showing me here?
Right.
Adversity can be used to get our attention, can't it? To refine us, draw us closer. And that naturally encourages us to follow his lead, to obey.
That connects to the idea of staying teachable, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned the difference between those who listen and those who don't.
Absolutely. That's the second point. Stay teachable during tough times. Elihu really highlights this. Being humble, reflective, maybe more prayerful when things are hard. That often opens the door to breakthrough. It strengthens our faith because we see God working, guiding us through it, rather than just feeling stuck or abandoned. It builds trust in his guidance.
Okay, but what about those times when we can't see God working? When his actions, or maybe his lack of action, just seem confusing or painful?
Yeah, that's a tough one, and it brings us to the third application. Trust God's character even when his actions confuse you. This is huge. Even when we can't figure out why something is happening, Elihu reminds us we can trust who God is. Job 36 paints a picture of God whose justice and wisdom are fundamentally trustworthy.
Even if we don't see it immediately.
Exactly. Even when it feels delayed or hidden somehow. Trusting his heart when you can't trace his hand, as some say. That's a powerful anchor for faith.
And you mentioned the power and attentiveness of God earlier.
Right, which leads to a fourth point. Remember that power and mercy coexist in God. Elihu shows us a God who is incredibly powerful, controlling storms, the deep sea, but also intimately attentive, not despising anyone, opening ears to discipline. Understanding that balance, that God is both mighty and merciful, can strengthen our faith. And it encourages us to reflect that balance in our own lives, too, maybe in how we lead or parent or our friends, showing obedience to his nature.
And finally, that big pivot Elihu made to the natural world. How can that help us?
That's the fifth takeaway. Let nature recalibrate your view of God. Seriously, take time to step outside. Really look at creation. A storm rolling in, a sunset, the complexity of a river system. It doesn't just happen. Elihu saw it as testifying to the incredible scale, the power, but also the intricate care of the Creator.
It puts things in perspective.
It totally does. It expands our view of God way beyond just our immediate problems and deepens our faith in his sovereign wisdom and control.
Wow. This deep dive into Job 36 really does give us a lot to chew on. God's justice, which is maybe more complex than we think, the potential purpose hidden in our struggles, and just the sheer mind-blowing majesty of his creation. It's definitely a reminder that there's always more to learn, more to understand about God.
Indeed it is. It really encourages us, I think, to look at our own lives and the whole world around us with maybe a fresh perspective, a renewed sense of God's sovereign power, yes, but also his genuine desire for our growth, for us to listen and follow him.
So as you think about everything we've talked through today, here's something to consider. How might reframing your most recent challenge, whatever it was, as potentially an instructional moment from a wise and just how might that change your perspective and your response going forward?